You are now listening to Asking for a Friend with Talk Doc, sharing insights through real, honest, and practical ways to improve your communication and relationships. Featuring your hosts, Dr. Pamela Kreiser, Meredith Edwards-Nagel, and Taylor Palindo.
Okay, so I have a question for the two of you.
Okay.
When you hear about artificial intelligence, I think my kids are grown. It's kind of up to them to figure out their lives. But you two have young children, right? How do you think about this?
It's a good question. The first thought I have, because Tom and I were just talking about this, is even if I don't want to, now I feel like I have a responsibility to learn something about it.
Yeah, that's a great thought on it. I think I agree with you, Mayor. I wouldn't say I'm particularly prone to fear, but I am, I guess, anything I don't truly understand because I don't know what it's capable of. It makes me a little bit fearful. I can see there's some excitement to it too, the tool
I just
aspect
think you,
of it.
You know, from you have a one-year-old, right, Meredith? So you have 17 years, theoretically, of this developing and you parenting it.
Yeah, I never considered this when I thought about parenting. Is that okay to say that? Like,
I think it's fair.
Across my mind, the AI boyfriend, you know, like I didn't think about that, but the world's changing. And I guess if I want to prepare her the best I can for the changing world, then I like to brush up a little bit on the changes around me too.
Yeah.
I think that's really wise.
I don't feel too wise on this subject. So it's like, I feel myself jumping in.
Well, this one's going to be about artificial intelligence and parenting. And of course, we're going to draw upon the work of Sherry Turkle because she's pretty much our podcast crush right now at this point.
Big time, big time.
I was reading in preparation for this about screen time and toddlers. And it's something that I've heard from speech language hearing pathologists. They've said that there's a danger when you expose children to screens under age two, especially. A number of them say up to 50% of those kids will have speech delays.
Yeah.
Which is a massive number.
Yeah, I've heard that. And even after two, no more than like 20 minutes at a setting. So that's not even a movie. Basically, small children should not be watching movies because that's way more screen time than they should ever have. Which I was like, well, that.
But on the plane, it's great.
My question is, when we use screens for something like that, which that's pretty rare, so I do understand it. But when you use a screen as the babysitter, like at dinner, then they miss out on the opportunity to learn how to have dinner in a restaurant. Like that's a skill.
That's right.
Then an important one, I think. So there's a trade-off.
There's a trade-off. There's also times where mom and dad say, if you say another word, I'm going to have to scream.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can appreciate arguments for both. I think what we're aiming for in wrestling with this type of friction in our lives is to have some sort of balance, like not to say like, oh yeah, we do screens. It's just like it's a thing that's expected at breakfast, lunch, and dinner, or it's every dinner because I can't deal with you. Is that kind of what you're getting at, Tay?
Yeah, totally. I recognized how incredibly useful it can be. I think we were having friends over for games. I said to my husband, do you want to plug him in? Do you want to zombie him? Because that's literally what it is. And we could do that. And then I was like, well, let me think about the words I'm using. Like, maybe I actually don't want to do that. So we like pulled away from that. But I do understand. And I love movies. I got proposed to in a movie theater. Obviously, I'm a huge fan of entertainment. But there are consequences, I think. And I think that's what we don't necessarily think through. We're like, oh, here, fine. Just look at this. Okay. Like,
definitely easy route. I think that's you're making a key point. That's from what I observe. There's not a lot of thought in the use of it. I don't think we're saying like, don't be in the 21st century. You know,
maybe we are saying use the phone as entertainment when you're getting a mammogram.
Yeah, we are saying that.
I remember something my therapist said was her rule with her girls was that it was not an alone thing. It was a social thing to do.
Yeah.
If you're feeling sad, you don't go escape and look at a screen. If you're feeling any sort of way, it wasn't a solution to your problems, but it was something that could be enjoyed with someone. However, when I'm out to dinner with my friends and their kids, it drives me nuts when they pull out the screen because then I tell my son, no, like we're here with our friends. Like why? We don't need a screen right now.
Yeah. And the big thing that the researchers say about the screen use is it's because it's not interactive. is the problem. So on the language development, if you think about the job of a two-year-old, their job is to learn language. And they do it by making mistakes. Mm-hmm. Like saying the wrong thing, right, Taylor?
Yeah. Insert wrong word here.
Yeah, but I mean, they do it. And then that creates the friction that creates the conversation around, we don't use a word like that. Or we do use a better word like this one. Mm-hmm. So we know it's causing problems. So let's bring AI into it.
Yes.
Okay.
We talked in the last episode about 84% of us are using AI, whether we know it or not.
That blew my mind.
So yeah, big stat there. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case and we expose our children to AI, by the time children like of your age get old enough, I think we're talking about 100%.
Oh, yeah, for
and
sure.
So the big problem with it is that the technology can shape us. When Sherry Turkle talked about the comments that she made about AI, she was talking about this idea that technology shapes us. Some examples. We might have previously thought that looking at a phone would have been rude 10 years ago.
Mm. Oh,
right? Mm-hmm. Don't look at your phone. You're talking to me. Now we actually accept it in meetings and dinners. We used to, 10, 15 years ago, think somebody getting back to us in a few hours was a good thing.
It's a really good point.
And then now I texted them 5 minutes ago. Where are they? I searched where they are on my Find My Friends.
Oh, that's... Yeah.
No, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just craziness. But the technology, because of its smooth, slick efficiency, affects us. And as Turkle has said, the cost is that it creates a friction-free environment. And when we become people that favor friction-free above other things, and remember our favorite phrase here on the podcast is to say we like to trade comfort for growth.
Mm-hmm. We welcome friction. We want it.
Right.
We want it. Mm-hmm. And AI is therefore all comfort, no growth.
I wouldn't say that.
I had feedback earlier that I sent you all from a colleague of mine.
Yeah.
So a shout out to Manny, who gave me his opinion about our last episode. And I want to quote him.
Yeah.
He had a really interesting take on our last episode. He said, the most productive approach is to think of AI not as our replacement or our adversary, but as our partner. And like any partner, it has its strengths and weaknesses. I thought that was kind of an interesting thing to think about, that we think of it as not our adversary or our replacement. Because if we do either of those things, we get into a fight with AI. Mm-hmm. What about it as our partner and understanding our partner's strengths and weaknesses? And I thought that was a really useful thing to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Obviously, it's not all good or bad, but partner, then that kind of lends to, I don't know, relying on it, but also needing to, I don't know, challenge it.
You know, one of the things we love about AI is its efficiency. We are massively efficient. We can get things done so fast. We've talked about ChatGPT producing these answers in under a second. That's great in terms of the efficiency side. Mm-hmm. The cost of it is that I don't learn how to write if I use ChatGPT to create my content. We can think about it that way, but its true strength is probably is efficiency, I would say.
Okay.
But what is its weakness? And something Turkle talks about a lot is it takes an assault on empathy in relationships, because the one thing it can't do is be a moral human.
Right.
And so the real cost is this empathy cost. She says empathy has gotten a bad name, whereas really empathy is not saying I know how you feel. It's saying I don't know how you feel, but I'm willing to listen for the long haul and I'm committed to what comes out of this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Podcast crush strikes again.
Yes, it does.
The feedback that we got, also the way that Turkle explains these things, it's part of why when I was thinking about it, taking the time to get to know this will affect even how I have a relationship with my own child. Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder what she'll value in the slowness of it, creating connections that take time or grow and take years to develop, or things that change. Mm-hmm. Hearing older people say like, oh, this generation wants everything like this fast, right now, and satisfaction, right? So if I don't get to know this as a parent, how will I show my child the value in taking time with each other to have these connections and these relationships, and why those things are valuable if they're not just immediately satisfying you?
Mm-hmm. She talks about the real cost of all of this is empathy, which also presents itself as our solution. Because if we know that this AI partner isn't going to be faithful in that area, we can't rely on AI to teach our children empathy. So we have to do it, right? If the real cost is that it's not promoting that, then we have to get into the moments that are full of friction and build empathy in those moments. So let's do a quiz.
Oh, of course. Taylor has two kids. She's done this longer than me. She's going to win.
Here's your quiz today.
Okay, I'm ready.
The quiz is, who said it?
Oh.
So I'm...
Oh, she's confident. Oh, she's got it.
I'm going to say the quote. Oh, I'm going to say the quote, and then you tell me who said it. First question. Empathy has no script. There's no right or wrong way to do it. It's simply listening, holding space, withholding judgment, emotionally connecting, and communicating that incredibly healing message, you're not alone.
Brené Brown.
Oh, Brené.
Nice. Nice.
Hey.
Very good.
Oh, she. Oh, okay. Ding, ding, okay, ding, Meredith. Ding, ding, ding.
Okay.
Okay, Meredith.
I read.
Okay.
That's it. That's it. Mean, you maybe. Get no more.
Next one. Empathy is the ability to recognize and share other people's feelings. It's the most important instrument in a leader's toolbox.
Isn't that Simon Sinek?
Yes. Amazing.
I love him.
Well, where were you on that question, Meredith?
I know.
Yeah, do you read?
Okay. You know what I was going to say? Rude, first of all. I was going to say, is it you, Talk Talk? I almost was going to say. I was just being a kiss ass. You're right. Simon Sinek. Love him. Great.
Here's the next one. Empathy is choosing to see ourselves in another despite our differences. It's recognizing that the same humanity, the same desires for meaning, fulfillment, and security exists in each of us, even if it's expressed uniquely.
I just want that to be Desmond Tutu, but it's not.
Isn't it Vivek Murthy?
Yes.
Amazing. Dude.
The U.S. Surgeon General. Yeah.
Okay.
Taylor.
Okay.
Okay, Tay, get it.
Give us more. Taylor. Give us more. I'm ready.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
How do you say trash talk? I want to wipe the floor with her.
Wow. Okay.
I've missed you too, Taylor.
Okay, this is sort of about empathy. In times of stress, the best thing we can do for each other is to listen with our ears and our hearts and to be assured that our questions are just as important as our answers.
Fred Rogers.
It's, yeah.
Nice.
Meredith.
Meredith. Okay.
Wait, I knew that one.
You Mr. didn't Rogers. Say it, so can we replay? Do the replay, referee?
Instant replay. She grabbed Instant the replay. First.
We don't need a replay. She didn't make it. Okay. Who said, empathy is not sympathy. We should all strive to be more empathetic.
Joe Rogan.
Yes.
Really?
I believe Taylor is the winner.
Damn.
Not that great.
Pretty bad, Taylor.
Why is she laughing so hard?
She's laughing because I gave her the quiz ahead of time.
Oh, you are such an asshole. I was like, how do you know this shit? But how did... Wait, so I did good.
You did?
I actually did really well. Good. I did when really well.
You got Brené Brown, and she's got the answer in front of her. It's like
I'm trying to like make it seem more realistic, keep pausing, and you get all the answers.
I was like, how did you get Simon Sinek? I really like him, but I'm surprised I didn't get that. Like, what am I missing? Wow, that was real messed up, guys. That's what I get for being late.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens. It's sort of like when you're late to the meeting, they make you the committee chair, you know.
I deserved that. I deserved that.
All right. So we talked about empathy, obviously.
You're messed up. Okay. Go ahead.
Turkle says some interesting things. She says children growing up relating to AI in lieu of people might not acquire the equipment for empathic connection.
Mm-hmm. So briefly, can you say why it's so important that children learn empathy?
Because it's connection. One of the things she talks about is this idea that we're producing a depressed and lonely society.
What do you risk if you're not prepared to understand empathy yourself and to teach it to your child?
Mm-hmm. You risk loneliness and depression. Okay. That's all.
That's all.
That's it.
As we're trying to think about bringing up children, we want to think about what we would want a human to be able to do and know. That's a big parenting question, right? Who do you want mm-hmm. your child to be as a human?
Mm-hmm.
One of the fears that I hear a lot is that AI is going to take over the world, right?
Easy, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing that it can't ever do, though, is teach this whole area of how to manage friction, how to be in those moments with people when they hear bad news, when they have disappointment, but not even the bad things. I think also the good things. I'm there the day you won the speech contest.
Hmm.
It's being in those moments and sharing that connection, which is what makes us human. So the only thing we're asking, Meredith, is how do you create a really good human? That's all.
That's
who
it.
Isn't depressed and alone.
Yeah, I was just like, another thing to add to the list of things. Now, I'm not the only newer parent that may hear this. I'm already freaking out, mm-hmm. you know, like this is just like another like thing, you know, to tack on. But it feels like this is part of the world evolving to want to grasp onto that. What kind of person are you bringing into the world or raising into the world, however you have them?
Mm-hmm.
That's a loaded question. Is Turkle talking to everyone like, hey, realize this is affecting all of us? Or is it okay for some people to say, well, this is how I do it. I use it every day. I use it for the meal every dinner because I need that.
I think Turkle would not, based on what I've heard of her, would not say that she's telling everyone what to do.
Yeah.
I would say she's researched this thing for 40 years as it's developed. And what she's seeing is AI can't provide empathy. It can't form real connection. And if it teaches us or lulls us into a fake reality, it simultaneously educates us to not deal with real reality.
Mm. Yeah.
The lull is strong.
Honestly, I don't seek out ChatGPT or anything. If I'm using AI, it's probably unknown to me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of a way I've included it with my child. When I think of technology, I'm thinking like screen time, video games, mm-hmm. social media.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think my generation is becoming more aware of as we're becoming parents. But I honestly, I'm a little bit confused as to where is my 4-year-old going to interact with AI?
Okay, Turkle, one of the interviews I heard her do, I think it was the American Psychological Association, she did a podcast and she talked about your child going to school and the school having software programs and will capture all of his data of every keystroke he does, every answer he puts in,
yes.
and will keep scraping data from everybody in order to become smarter, except for that you lost privacy in that. But I think it's in other places too, like our cars.
Ooh.
It's built into all these things. Turkle's quite critical of Facebook, for example, which I don't, mm-hmm. I doubt your kids will use because it's becoming MySpace.
It's mostly becoming MySpace.
Boomers, right? The generation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uses
but
it the
she
most.
Talks about the algorithms inside Facebook are designed to keep you angry about the topics that you're angry about and
yes.
to have you get friend suggestions and ads and various things to support that anger.
So disturbing.
But the other thing that happens is it's a cost to democracy in that way because it squelches an actual conversation between parties who might not agree and might get through the friction in a productive way and learn something about each other's point of view.
She mentions a philosopher, an 18th century philosopher who used to go to coffee shops and only talk to people who disagreed with him so he could learn more. You have to learn how to disagree with people. And I think that is something we're definitely losing because we just unfollow or we mute people who don't mm-hmm. agree with us. I don't know. It's a lost art, it seems like.
Well, technology allows us to walk away. Here's the thing that I'm thinking, though. If you're listening to this podcast and you're saying, okay, I have high schoolers. I think the one takeaway that we would take from Turkle, she says you got to engage. And I know it's tempting when you feel like I don't get them or they don't get me or there seems like a big bridge between us or it mm-hmm. seems like too big of a mountain to climb to get to empathy. And so then you kind of say, okay, well, how will we get there? And I think the answer is trying to think about what Turkle's definition of empathy is, which is not getting in the other person's shoes. It's getting in the other person's problem.
Mm-hmm.
So understanding what those challenges are, but not walking in with judgment, but walking in with compassion. Because I think the big thing is that we need spaces to have these conversations. It's why when we travel, we have time to talk. It's why when we
yeah.
are in a long car ride, we create spaces to have a conversation or when we
yes.
sit down for a meal. Now, we could always bring technology into those environments.
Because mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times we thought about technology as, oh, it's just taking up my time. And she's saying, no, it's taking up your training.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting trained in how to conduct yourself in a conversation or at the dinner table or whatever.
Right. So we now have a skill deficit.
Well, I think that's what it is. So then it kind of puts on the parents, though, of tomorrow, you guys, you have to be very strategic. If you just let whatever happen, it will result in this isolation and depression.
Mm.
I think that is so well said for this episode. That's it. That's the thing.
So to
and
me,
so
I'm just having, I'm having a moment. I'm having a tomorrow parent moment. If I just let whatever happen, this is what I'm going to get is a lonely person. I'm going to create someone that's lonely.
Hmm.
And worse, doesn't have the skills to get out of loneliness.
Yeah.
That makes me so sad.
Doesn't have the ability to figure out, okay, we had a problem. Let's work through it.
See, we're like talking about like tech stuff and I'm like, you're making me emotional. Okay. Strategies. Get to stop it.
So to me, that sounds like joining my kid when they use it, mm-hmm. not using it as a babysitter, but it's something that you try together, mm-hmm. which if your kid is really into it, I could totally understand. Like, you would want to say like, oh, tell me about this, show me this. And then doing it together, making sure it is safe. I don't know.
Yeah, you're making me think of something. I haven't thought about this for such a long time. So there was a point where one of our children stopped talking, sort of. I wouldn't say entirely, but just noticeably less. Do you remember the John Madden football games that were so popular video games?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I became like the best at Madden 08. I became amazing at it.
I love this for you.
Because I learned that when we were setting it up and talking about the teams, and then that would spill into watching football together on the weekends. Mm. And we played on the same team, and we'd try to max out like the maximum highest score that ever earned on John Madden. And, you know, and we'd pick these different teams and we'd talk about the players. But then the game would go off and we'd still talk.
Hmm.
And so, but it wasn't because I wanted to play Madden 08. That wasn't actually my goal. My
really?
Goal was to connect with my kid. Yeah. But it was an interesting thing that I used as a way to get that connection back.
Yeah.
See, you know what blows my mind for people listening to that is either you listened to that and you thought to yourself, there was a mother, father, role model, mentor in my life that did that for me, that played Madden for me, whatever that was. Or there's somebody listening to that and going, why didn't they do that? You know? Mm-hmm. And I think then it just, because we're talking about parenting, makes me think like, God, like I want my kid to grow up and go, my mom and dad played Madden for me. Like,
I mean, it's an interesting thing. And I, you know, I would tell you that was our parenting strategy, was to figure out the thing that they cared about the most and being in the middle of their challenges, whether that's being, you know, in a tight game at the high school championship and understanding how tight the game is, because we've been talking about it for the last 2 weeks and knowing the factors. Mm. I think you have to, as a parent, understand and flow with the current interest of your children.
Mm. What was the episode we talked about? Studying the people you love well? Because mm-hmm. I listen to them, Taylor.
Maybe that's why the early years of parenting, and maybe, I don't know, it never gets easier, but maybe that's why the earlier years is so hard, because you're trying to fit them into your life. And then later you finally have to figure out, like, you need to join them in their life. And you'll have a more fruitful relationship. I don't know. But well, that's what it sounds like to me is what you did with your kids, is you joined them.
But I think when you do that, you teach them to do it to you.
Mm.
So if you show interest in their lives, they show interest back because you've trained them in that skill.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
So if we say it's all about skills, then we have to figure out what skills we need to teach. And as we think about AI as our future parenting partner.
Oof.
I know. We have to understand what AI is good at and what AI is not good at. And what AI is not good at is everything we talk about on this podcast.
Damn.
Oh, snap. Okay.
Talk coming in hot today. I mean,
I'm just saying, it's about empathy. It's about vulnerability. It's about trading comfort for growth. None of these things are something technology will achieve.
Right. It can't be that way with us.
It doesn't know about what it means to be sick. Mm-hmm. It doesn't know what it means to be disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
AI doesn't know any of those things. They know about them, but they don't know them. So the strategy I need to have as a parent going forward is to understand my AI partner can't teach any of these things. What are they? How to manage a conflict, how to have a difficult conversation, how to talk about an illness, how to share a disappointment, mm-hmm. how to talk about the person you love, whatever. It doesn't have to all be negative.
How to celebrate with someone.
Yeah, right. They can't do those things. But AI could teach you some other things, like maybe teach you Japanese.
It's awesome.
Which might be really cool for you to learn another language.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, and I look at some of that and I think, I like what my colleague said. Don't throw it all out.
Yeah.
But understand that it's never going to teach anything we talk about on this podcast.
Hmm.
Turkle gives us some suggestions.
Okay.
So she talks about creating spaces. She has a rule in her house, which is no phones with food.
I like
so
that.
She doesn't have her phone out when she's cooking. When anyone's in the kitchen having conversation or at the dinner table.
No phones with food.
And I think that goes to value she has about building community at a table or in a kitchen or around food.
Yeah.
Where we see a lot of cultures do that bonding around food.
Yeah.
Another thing she talks about is getting the phone out of there entirely. And you just referenced this a second ago, Taylor, the fubbing episode. So that's episode 15. And we, on that episode, talked about the same research Turkle talks about, which is even if you have your phone out, or even if you have it just out of sight, but a little bit like in your line of sight, but not like right in front of you, it has the same negative effect in the studies.
Yeah, you sit at the dinner table and they just turn it over, but it's sitting on the dinner table. I'm like, okay, well, we can all see the light go and we could feel it buzz our food when it's going off. Yeah.
She talks about it is you're inviting everywhere else you could be to the table.
You're inviting everywhere else you could be
to the table. So when you, because your phone takes you to different places, it takes you to internet sites and you can look at foreign countries and you can watch a movie and there's all these places you can go and you're inviting them all to the dinner table when you bring that phone, even if the screen's not up.
You know what's interesting? I try to turn that on, like that example. At first I made it like personal, like, oh, I'm doing that, you know, or somebody's doing that to me. But if you're enjoying a meal with somebody you love or spending time with someone like that, do you want them to know that you have a million other options in your head of things you can be doing rather than being present right there with them in that moment? And then just in talking about what the AI partner isn't going to teach, you mentioned, I know it's not all negative, but about loss, right? When you have loss in your life, I'm thinking about the moments I was just with the person, just fully with someone. And if we're robbing ourselves of that, then we're taking away those things. If that makes sense. I don't know. I'm kind of like going off on a tangent. But
so I think when we come down to it, I was thinking about what Turkle said, and she talked about forgetting the lessons that life is teaching us. She said, because what technology does is it makes things too easy, too shiny, too smooth, right? So what's the opposite of easy, shiny, smooth? It's complex, involved, and demanding.
Sounds like a child.
Sounds like what we have to do as a parent.
Yeah. For someone who is those things. I didn't mean that that was funny, I know, but I didn't mean it in a funny way. I meant it like, whoa. Oh.
Right. So Turkle's encouraging us to go to those opposite things and seek out the complexity of that child. So that means you have to figure out if they like Madden 08.
Yeah.
It is that they care about, right?
Yeah.
But I think getting involved, and I think understanding that the biggest message of this is we cannot passively let this just go by.
Yeah.
It's going to shape us too much. The technology will shape us. There's too many effects if we just do nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the negative effects are huge. So then what do I need to do? I have to embrace conversations that are involved, and I have to engage in things that are demanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I think prioritize what matters. When our kids were in junior high and high school, we spent a lot of time role-playing things.
Yeah.
It would be something you have to say to your friend that didn't go well, or something you need to say to your coach or your teacher. So it was usually difficult conversations or conversations that were complicated or had a little fear, you know, the child had a little fear about communicating about it. And we would role-play. And it was funny because I think early on they would laugh a lot. And then later in high school, they were like, okay, we got to play this out. You know, like we're going to do our usual role play. But what would happen is in that role playing, I'm now in the middle of the problem and I would be the friend that's disgruntled or the mean coach or the teacher or whatever, whoever they had to talk to. But I would prepare them for that difficult friction moment. Mm-hmm. So they had the skills to do it.
Awesome.
And role playing was huge. And I don't know of many people that had done that, but we did it a lot.
Keep that in your tool chest.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. It reminds me of, I feel like comm teachers always said, we can tell which one of you practiced your speech. Like if this is the first time you're saying this, we're pretty aware.
We're pretty aware because you look shocked at the whole thing.
So it makes sense that would be an amazing tool for them to work that out and have live feedback. I love that.
Yeah.
Awesome. A lot of good parenting tips today.
I agree with you, Taylor, that being accessible as a parent is great. And of course, our children have the most ability to contact us than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's sometimes where you don't want to be contacted because you think, you know, I get that phone call or I hear about that problem. It's like, really?
I can't help you. So
I got a phone call from one of the children once, and the child said, "Hi, Mom. I want to let you know that I'm okay, but the ambulance driver said I should give you a call."
Mm. Love this kid, just have to say.
And this kid had gotten into a bicycle accident and knocked his front teeth off in half. So the ambulance got called because it was kind of a bloody mess, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we had to rebuild him after that. But now the good news is as mothers especially, but mothers and fathers, you are getting the call when that thing happens.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what we can do.
You're getting the call if you play Madden. Sorry.
But the thing is that you're invited in that moment to get in the middle of the problem. I think it's in some of those moments that we can stand up to as parents and say yes to those moments and say, this is a moment where I will show you a bunch of things. I will show you loyalty. I will show you what it means to be involved, what it means to really provide help.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't going to be helpful for me to say, hey, why did you do that? Why'd you get in that accident?
Yeah,
but it's real helpful. It's real helpful for me to call the hospital and make sure he got checked out. It's sometimes in those moments that are actually a lot of times maybe even negative moments where we can educate our children on how do you solve a problem? How do you work through difficult things? And how do we show that we are ultimately loyal to each other?
Mm. Yes. Thank you for that story.
Yeah. You got to love what kids say. I was like, the ambulance driver said, great, fantastic.
You just brace yourself.
I love that story so much.
Oh, man, I'm just a little bit nervous about those calls I'm going to get.
You're totally
going to get them. You're getting them.
What did Ralph just, he brought him downstairs. I heard a thud. It's a bad one. Oh, God. That's not what I wanted to hear.
Once again, thank you for joining us today. Please remember to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. And thank you for listening to Asking for a Friend.
Let us know what you thought of the episode. Our email is hello@afafpodcast.com. This show is for educational purposes only and is copyrighted. Written permission must be granted before syndication or rebroadcasting. Thanks for listening to Asking for a Friend with Talk Doc.